the Bush-Obama Tag Team.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. President Bush will be leaving a big wad of cash on the desk when he turns the Oval Office over to Barack Obama a little more than a week from now. Bush is preparing to ask Congress for the remaining $350 billion in financial bailout money as soon as today. The request will come from him to speed things up, but the new administration will get to allocate the money. Senate Democrats want more of this latest funding to help homeowners facing foreclosure. Lawmakers expect an authorization vote later this week. Foreign investors are still catching their breath from that frightful U.S. unemployment report last Friday. Hong Kong closed lower for its fifth straight session, down nearly 3% today. Markets in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are also off, but less than 1%. Detroit's annual auto show is underway this week, and with most of the U.S. car industry getting a government bailout, I say most since Ford didn't take any bailout money, the industry's big showcase is a little scaled back this year. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
The Detroit Auto Show prides itself on being the first major auto show of the year. It's a chance for the industry to unveil new vehicles and create buzz. Michelle Krebs of EdmondsAutoObserver.com has been attending the show for decades. She says there won't be much glitz or glamour this year.
The focus of this show will be on what's the future of the industry, what does the year look like, a very serious business kind of show.
But she says it's a show that has to take place if the industry wants any chance of getting back into the black. Aaron Bragman is a research analyst with IHS Global Insight.
The auto show's purpose is to try and get people interested in buying cars. All the government loans and bailouts in the world aren't going to help the industry unless they can get people back into showrooms.
In an unfortunate bit of bad timing for automakers, this year's show will feature a number of fuel-efficient vehicles at a time when gas prices are less than half what they were just 6 months ago. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Okay, what Jeremy points out is true to a point, but even as global oil prices slipped another $2 a barrel today, there's word gasoline prices are actually creeping back up, almost 12 cents a gallon in the past 3 weeks, according to the latest Lundberg survey. GM's Vice Chairman Bob Lutz dropped a hint to reporters that some kind of government intervention is needed to stop these wild price swings, so long-term planning isn't such a gamble. GM, by the way, is set to announce today who's getting its lucrative contract to supply the batteries for its new all-electric Chevrolet Volt. Word is the biz will go to a South Korean company, LG Chem. Bangalore is one of India's technology hubs, known for being the first city in India to see a car and the first to have electricity. Put those two together and you get another first for Bangalore, an electric car that's already on the market there. May sound like a no-brainer for India's smog-choked cities, but so far not many people are buying it. Raymond Thibodeau reports from Bangalore.
Anand Mahesh is a salesman for Riva, the only electric car company in India. What he enjoys most about his job is taking customers out for test drives.
Let's just go ahead and see what it sounds like to start. It's on.
It's on now. Yeah, on the motion.
Okay, so it's very quiet.
Of course.
And so we're going into traffic. Uh-huh. Does the horn work pretty well?
Of course. You want to try?
The car may be tiny, but it's got a big horn. That's an essential asset when driving on India's noisy, crowded streets. Riva's been around for about 8 years, but so far it's only sold about 3,000 electric cars. Not so good in a country of 1 billion people, especially considering that about half of those sales have been in Europe. One of the problems is that because of its range of only 50 miles per charge, the Riva is marketed as an ideal second car in a country where most people still can't afford their first one. But India's growing prosperity and a greater focus on energy independence may change all that. Chetan Maini is Riva's deputy chairman.
People really need some time to understand how new technologies shape up, especially when you're the only player.
The Riva is a little pricier than most other compact cars, but as Mahesh the salesman is quick to point out, an electric car requires less maintenance, mainly because there's no engine. No engine means no exhaust, and that means cleaner air. And that's why some Indian states are offering big tax breaks for electric car buyers, as much as 25% off the sticker price. It's a good start, but it's the tip of the iceberg, says T.S. Panwar. He's an air quality expert for the Energy and Resources Institute in New Delhi.
Yeah, it certainly is a good idea to have subsidy on cleaner vehicles like the electric vehicle. But the government should also look at it in a more holistic manner. First and foremost priority should be to invest in public transportation.
For now, Riva hopes to gain a bigger foothold in the eco-friendly transportation market, but it won't be the only player for long. Tata Motors, India's biggest car maker, plans to launch its electric car this year. In Bangalore, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thriven.com. And by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
By some estimates, the world will need to double food production in the next 40 years to feed the growing population. That idea is pretty unappetizing to those concerned about Earth's resources. But a study out today shows, in the U.S. at least, agriculture isn't too hard on the environment. Yet. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Some unusual bedfellows make up the group behind the study. They include the American Soybean Association, ConAgra Foods, Coca-Cola, and the Nature Conservancy. The group found that producing corn, soy, cotton, and wheat has become more efficient in the last 20 years. Michael Reuter is with the Nature Conservancy.
The upshot here is that we're growing more product in a lot of these areas while relying on less inputs.
Meaning water, energy, and soil. Still, demand for U.S. food products is expected to soar.
The question is, how do we increase productivity in the right places to meet that demand without causing further expansion of agriculture into areas that might be important?
And if that expansion does take place, he says, there's the question of how to minimize the environmental impact. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We invite you to check out our podcasts at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.